In that same vein, if somebody hits a slice return to you, I would just say this, try to do anything other than hit a slice drop ball off of it. Anything other than hit a slice drop off of it. Because for me, the easiest drop is a slice drop, and I have some tough times with topspin drops. I think topspin drops can be pretty difficult. It's just, I think, a harder shot to execute and kind of just an open face, just slice the drop and just push it in. But if somebody slices a return to me, I am always going to hit topspin on that shot. All right, so before we hop into this show, I have to talk to you guys about Selkirk nets. They've been huge for me, huge for my game. I had a long history of playing on temporary nets that were just not satisfactory. I've been in this game now for a little bit, and I remember when I was playing with temporary nets where if you hit it, you know, an inch from the top of the net, if you hit it hard, it's going over. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just not a high quality net. And I was something of a Colin Johns as it related to those, you know, those net cords just getting mad all the time at them. And it was a pet peeve of mine. And then when Selkirk came out with their nets, I couldn't have been happier. And the truth is, they came out with their nets before I was signed with Selkirk, and I had already gotten one. So this is a pretty genuine thing. I mean, they do have the best nets, and I feel pretty happy to be able to advertise Selkirk nets because I know they're the best, and if you've played with them, you know they're the best. So shout out to Selkirk, and be sure to get Selkirk nets at selkirk.com/collections/nets. Okay, so we are back with another episode of the James Ignatowicz podcast. We are tuning in right after the Red Rock PPA. Anna and I had a decent tournament. We got to another final. We lost in the final to Ben Johns and Etta Wright. Eventually, I'm going to figure out this whole like beating Ben Johns thing. But right now, we're just having a tough time. He's pretty good at pickleball, but overall, it's just going to be a long process, I think, of being able to win consistently against him. And right now, my career record against Ben is 1-10. So, yeah, not great. But we're figuring it out. Obviously, he's been playing for a lot longer than I have. He's been in this for, I think, 8 years. I've only been in it for 2 years. So that's at least the best excuse that I can give myself right now. But either way, we're just going to get right into it. I've had a ton of people asking me at my most recent clinics, you know, can you slice the return? What are the pros and cons to slicing the return? A lot of people are saying never slice the return. And I think that if you are playing somebody with a good drive, you should not really be slicing the return because the best drives have a lot of topspin. They dip really early. They might be bouncing, you know, 4 or 5 feet past the kitchen line. And if you slice a return to somebody that has a drive with a lot of topspin, your slice is their topspin. So if you've noticed, maybe if you personally have a good topspin drive, you might notice that if somebody slices a return to you, you can get a ton of topspin on your drive. And at the pro level, everybody can hit a lot of topspin on their drive. So almost nobody is slicing returns anymore. I think the only people that are slicing their returns are people with one-handed backhands who just do not feel comfortable putting two hands on their backhand under any circumstances, then you kind of have to slice the return. And we'll get into that and what you should be doing. If you only have a one-handed backhand, you feel like you have to slice the return. But if you have any confidence in putting two hands on the paddle for a two-handed backhand, you should not be slicing the return under almost any circumstances. Main circumstance being if your opponent has a good drive, because your slice will make their drive better. So it's interesting. In tennis, you know, if you have come from tennis, you're taught that maybe slicing and coming in is okay because a slice will bounce and then stay low, and it's harder to pass somebody maybe off of a slice approach than it is off of a topspin approach to the net. And that's one thing. I think in tennis it's different though, because in tennis the rackets have strings, right? So the ball holds on to the racket for a lot longer than a pickleball, and your slice isn't necessarily affecting the topspin of their shot as much because the strings kind of neutralize a lot of the spin that has already been given to you by your opponent. In pickleball, it's different. There are no strings. It's a flat paddle and it's got a hopefully gritty surface. If it's a Selkirk paddle, we're sure it's got a lot of grit. You know, it's a gritty surface, and that's the only way you can really get spin. There are some internal components of the paddle. There are some certain paddles that have, like, you know, internal dwell time and different things that can create some spin. We're not really going to get into that. Bottom line is there's no strings, and your opponent's spin will definitely have an effect on the type of spin and the amount of spin that you are able to impart on the ball. So what that means is if somebody slices a return to you, that spin, that backspin, is the same directional spin that would be your topspin. So if somebody slices a return to you, I would highly recommend hitting either a topspin drive, if you're comfortable with it, or a topspin drop, because there will be more topspin on the shot that you hit if it has topspin on it already, if you're planning on having topspin, and it's easier to control because you're using the same spin that is being given to you. In that same vein, if somebody hits a slice return to you, I would just say this, try to do anything other than hit a slice drop ball off of it. Anything other than hit a slice drop off of it. Because for me, the easiest drop is a slice drop, and I have some tough times with topspin drops. I think topspin drops can be pretty difficult. It's just, I think, a harder shot to execute than kind of just an open face, just slice the drop and just push it in. But if somebody slices a return to me, I am always going to hit topspin on that shot. And some of us aren't familiar with slice versus topspin. That's okay. We have visual representations for that coming in the next YouTube video on my channel and in my newsletter, which I've already plugged enough. You'll be able to find it in my Instagram bio. But those are where the visual representations are going to exist for when to identify whether someone is slicing the return or hitting a topspin or flat return. If you can already identify those things, then we will keep going. If you can't, maybe you should just, you know, check on the newsletter and then come back. Anyway, if you can identify when somebody is slicing the return, I would say for the most part, just like I said, go for topspin on the drive, topspin on the drop. Don't slice it, because it's so hard to control a slice drop off of a slice return, because you're imparting a different type of spin than the spin that is being given to you. So now we're going to talk about, you know, what if I, this is something that's asked to me a lot at these clinics. What if I'm somebody who has only a one-handed backhand? And because I have a one-handed backhand, I really only feel comfortable putting some backspin on the return. And I'm somebody who has only had a two-handed backhand, but I've experimented with a one-handed backhand just to get a feel for the pros and cons of that shot. And I've noticed that hitting topspin off the bounce with a one-handed backhand is almost impossible. It doesn't feel comfortable at all, especially doing it off of a return of serve. So I've always found, and I've seen that other players with one-handed backhands, they always want to slice the return if it does go to their backhand. So if you can only slice the return, which is not something I recommend, but if you only want to slice the return, I would say the best place to put this return is deep and toward the middle, so that your opponent doesn't have as many angles to work with to hit a really tough drive, especially if they're unwinding the stack. The other option would be slicing the return with some height, so getting some height over the net and going cross court with the return. So from one side all the way to the other side, because that is the farthest distance for the ball to travel in the air. And one thing we know about pickleball is there's the two bounce rule. It's got to bounce on the serve and it's got to bounce on the return. So if you can make your return travel high over the net and spend a long time in the air, it'll give you a lot of time to rush up to that kitchen line and establish yourself just behind the kitchen line so that you can deal with the drive that your opponent's going to give to you. Because if you're somebody that's only slicing returns, as you go up in level, you're going to have to sacrifice the fact that, okay, you know, these 5-0s and guys that are better players are really going to crush some third shot drives off of my slice return. So the way to neutralize that is to get some height on the return to give yourself time to rush up to the kitchen and get as close to the kitchen line as possible. Because the drive that they're going to be hitting to you off of a slice return is going to have a lot of topspin. It's going to be dipping quickly. And the farther away you are from the kitchen line, the worse off you will be, because that ball that they're hitting is going to be dipping very fast. So if you are slicing a return, you need to be rushing up to the kitchen line as quickly as you can. Okay, so now we're going to talk about what to do if you are playing against someone who only slices their return. And normally this would be only slicing their backhand return. So if they are not unwinding a stack, which if we don't know what that means, there's going to be some more detailed explanation about that in the newsletter. We've had some comments, and also you can always comment and ask me, you know, what do these things mean? I know there's some questions. Always ask the questions in the comments. I'm replying to all the comments. And if I forget, the producer, you know, producer of the show, Josh, will probably tell me, like, James, you're not being a good host. You got to respond to all the comments. So if he just, you know, he'll yell at me and we'll make sure that we're all in a good spot here. I will respond to your comments. So anyway, if you are playing against somebody that is only slicing the return, the best thing to do is take some pace off of your drive. So don't hit it as hard as you can. Hit it maybe 70 to 80%, which is what I already recommend and teach, and go for as much topspin as possible and go as low over the net as possible, because their slice is going to be topspin for you. And the more topspin you can get on your drive, the more it's going to dip quickly. And if you can make a drive look almost indistinguishable from like a heavy topspin drop, I actually think those are the best drives. The best drives are drives that land super close to the kitchen line. They're bouncing very early. And if you can make the ball bounce, right, if you can make your drive bounce while the person is coming forward after the return with a lot of topspin, then it is way, way more likely for that player who is on their way forward from the return to pop that ball up. So I get a ton of free points in the pro game, even going against pros, hitting a big serve and then a drive that just bounces just as they're trying to rush up into the kitchen. And if, you know, they're rushing in and they're hitting their fourth off the bounce while they're moving forward at a really fast pace, it is very tough to keep that one down. And you also know that they're not going to attack off of it. So another big component of that is hitting a big serve. I think if you're playing against somebody that only slices the return, it's even more important to hit a big serve. Just go for the serve, because you're going to get more free points off of the return. And you guys who do slice returns, you know this, that if somebody's crushing a serve at you and you try to slice and just chip the return back, it's not that stable and it's not that easy. It's a whole lot easier to do that with two hands. So if you're going against somebody that only has that one-handed backhand, try to find that backhand, that one-handed backhand, and just crush the serve to that spot. And if you miss one out of eight, one out of 10 serves, don't worry about it at all. Okay, so now we are going to talk about the positioning with our legs when somebody is slicing the return to us. So if somebody's slicing the ball to you, especially as a return, the bounce is going to be lower. So with any ball in pickleball, if somebody slices it, it will bounce and then be lower. So for that reason, you need to bend your knees more if you are hitting a third shot, especially a third shot drive off of a slice return. So for me, if somebody slices a return to me, I'm going to get really low with my legs, as low as I can, so I can impart a ton of topspin on the ball and hit a very low, low third shot. I found that the lower I get with my legs and the more that I bend my knees, the easier it is to hit a low third shot. And as we all know, the best third shots are low. They're not sky high, feeding people overheads. So if somebody's slicing the return to you, get very low. And I think one thing that helps a lot is making a wide base. I think for me, I did struggle with my third shot drive, which is interesting because I came from tennis. I was decent at tennis. And, you know, if you come from tennis, you probably have a pretty good drive. It's usually a pretty natural shot for people. But for me, I had a little bit of issues with that in doubles, especially keeping it down. And one thing that changed everything for me was making a wider base, because the wider your base is, the lower you're going to be naturally, and also the more balanced you will be naturally. So for me, it wasn't just something where I'd be, you know, standing just with a wide base and not moving. You want to be moving your feet and you want to be taking a lot of little steps. So I know that might not mean a lot coming from me, because I'm the king of like making as many little steps as possible. I split step so much, but I would definitely recommend, and this has been said by other pros also, on your third shot drive, you want to be taking a bunch of little steps to get in perfect position with your feet, because you're really going for a pretty small target. You're trying to hit it, you know, this high over the net, and obviously that's the best place to put it. If it's any higher than that, it might go long. So a lot of little steps, and make a wide base with your feet. And I think a great spot to aim your drives, especially off of slice returns, because they're going to be more potent, is right in the middle. I think at the rec level, either right in the middle, or maybe right in the middle and then a little closer to the person who is coming in off of the return, so that the person who is already established at the net tries to take a stab at it and maybe goes toward the middle and there's some confusion. Because one thing that I can't stress enough is below the 4 or 5 level, even at the 4-5 level, there is so much more middle confusion. I think that's something that really gets overlooked. You know, in the pro level, there's not a lot of middle confusion. There might actually be a little bit of confusion in the middle. As you go down level universally, the middle confusion gets more and more just downright confusing. And I think that players are not hitting enough attacks up the middle, especially at the lower levels, because I think that's where the most winners are hit from what I've seen through the middle, especially closer to that right side player, because most players are taught, you know, especially at the lower levels, if you're on the right, don't touch anything in the middle. It's not mine. It's for my partner. It's their forehand in the middle, which is only half true. That's for another episode. But ultimately, when you're hitting these drives, I would say maybe a foot closer to the person who's coming in or a foot closer to the person who is on the right side of the court. Generally, that middle area is going to be a great place to get a lot of free points with your drive. And then also, if you drive it toward the middle, it collapses the court and it's easier for you to come in and maybe hit a volley off the next shot, easier for your partner to crash and then poach. So again, the middle is always a great spot, especially with your third shots. That's all we got today. Thank you for watching. That's it.